Amen. If you can't say amen to that, you just need to get saved. Amen. Amen. We got a lot of people in the world don't know how good God is. Amen.
Amen.
God's good. Amen. God's always good. Amen. Job chapter 10. I want to talk to you. I've made November kind of a Thanksgiving month, kind of. And so, I'm preaching on thanks and Thanksgiving every Sunday up through, of course, Thanksgiving day, week. And, today I want to talk to you about count your blessings. I want to talk to you about how to count your, and how to be thankful, how to count your blessings and how to be thankful. And, I believe that the day that we live in is probably the most ungrateful time in America. And I want to teach you how to count your blessings today, okay? In Job chapter 10. But before we turn there, I want to, before we preach, I want to pray. And I want to ask, all of us to pray tonight that God will settle our nation. However this thing turns out, the elections are not over. They haven't finished counting yet. But however it turns out that God, He's same God, same Savior. Nothing's going to change here, no matter who's president. Nothing's going to change. And God's still in control. So let's just wait on God. Let's don't get all upset. There's people at home crying in their milk this morning. And let's don't do that. Amen. And no matter what happens, we're still winners.
That's right.
Amen. 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 So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the sermon and our nation today.
Amen.
Amen. Job chapter 10. I hope you have it now in Job chapter 10. I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Would you read Job this week? I challenge you to read Job this week. Turn the TV news off. The media is owned by communists now, so just turn all that stuff off and read your Bible. And you'll find out that in the worst of times, God is still there. Amen. He's still there. And in Job chapter 10, I want to say a little background for you. Job has lost everything he ever had. He's lost his children to death. He's lost his grandchildren to death. He's lost, he was a rich man. He lost all his financial help. He lost his property. Lost his cattle and everything else. The man, his friends have turned against him. He's lost it all. And you whine because you didn't get to certain something here or there, you know. And this man has lost it all. And here's the old shame about that. He had to. If you read the book of Job, it took him 41 chapters to realize and repent of self-righteousness. Amen. Go read it. He defended himself all the way through until he gets to the end and he says, you know what, you guys are right. I've sinned. I've sinned, and my sin is self-righteousness. But in the middle of it all, he still never lost his faith. Now don't count people out too quick, okay? Don't count people out too quick. Don't judge people by what's going on in their life at that moment. Look at the whole picture, okay? If you look at him at this, right before this, during this prayer, he's a failure. He's a hypocrite and he's a failure right here. But by the time you get to the end, you say, Job's a winner again.
Yes, amen.
And he trusted God through all his failure.
Amen.
Do not judge people by one part of their life. God doesn't do that. I preach a lot of funerals, and I preach funerals that I have very little good to say about the people that I'm preaching a funeral. But I can usually by the end, I can say, but they were saved.
Hey.
But they were saved. And then I preached funerals of people who had been saved and then had failure in their life and died during that failure. I preached a funeral of a church member one time when I was a young preacher who had committed suicide because he felt like such a failure that he had failed his family, he'd failed God and everything else. And his own brother-in-law was a Baptist preacher, wouldn't preach his funeral. Because he said that he went to hell because he killed himself. That's not in the Bible, by the way. And so I preached his funeral. And I didn't preach him as a loser. I preached him as a winner because, hey, he ended up in the right place.
Right.
Amen. Don't judge people by where they are at that moment when you're looking.
Amen.
Look at the whole picture. Now today we're going to see Job. He's in the middle of it, man. He's really just getting started into the middle of it. And look what he says in chapter 10, verse 7. Thou know, he's talking to God. Thou knowest that I am not wicked. And there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me, look at that, and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Now he's pleading with God, arguing with God. You made me. Why am I in such a mess here, Lord? Remember, I'm made out of dirt, Lord. Verse 10, hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? He's talking about tribulation he's going through. He's lost his family, his children, his grandchildren, his property, and everything else. We'd say he'd been through the grinder.
Yeah.
Verse 11, thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. That's why I tell people this is just a temporary dwelling place. He's talking about you made this flesh, you made these bones, now I'm inside of here. You've locked me in here. I'm a prisoner in this flesh. Thou hast granted me life and favor. What? He's looking at his past life. He's saying, God, I don't know why I'm going through all this, but thou hast granted me life and you favored me. And thy visitation has preserved my spirit. He's keeping him. He's keeping him. Job's saying, you made me. I don't know why I'm going through all this. He's pleading innocence, but he's really not innocent. But sometimes God has to put you through the grinder to make you realize you're not innocent. And he's pleading it. And then he tells God, now you put me in this body. You've locked me in this cage. But not only that, you gave me life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then he says, preserved me. That means you're keeping me right now. I ought to be dead. You're keeping me alive. Amen. Now I want to talk to you this morning about counting your blessings or how to be thankful. Thanksgiving's coming up. Most people don't even know how to be thankful anymore. So today I want you to look at it. It's very important. We've got to count our blessings. If you do not count your blessings and realize what God's done for you, you'll become self-centered and selfish and covetous, and you'll never be happy, and you'll never be satisfied, and all the money in the world will not satisfy you.
Yeah.
I was watching a couple clips, like documentary clips last night on these world-famous rock stars, you know, Bob Dylan and people like that. And they've got it all. They've got it all. They've got mansions, swimming pools. They got yards big as towns, you know. They've got more money in the bank than they'll ever know how to spend. And the people that inherit it's just going to fight over it. They're still fighting over Michael Jackson. And they got everything that the world would say, this is going to make you happy. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be happy. And they turn out to be the most miserable people on planet Earth. And become drug addicts and drunks and fornicators and adulterers and homosexual and vile and wicked people. But they got it all. They've got it all. A lot of politicians think, well, if I can just make it to president, I'll own it all. And they're still unhappy and unfulfilled. Why is that? Could it be because they're just ungrateful for what they do have? I thought about this. An unthankful boy, girl, man, or woman, no matter how lovely they are, no matter how well-dressed they are, No matter how well-mannered or cultured they are, if they are unthankful and they have an unthankful spirit, it makes them just as ugly as the hunchback of Notre Dame. There's nothing more ugly and vile than an ungrateful person who God has blessed. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, all good gifts come from the Father above.
Amen.
Whether you're a bank robber or a preacher, all good gifts come from the Father above.
Yes.
And you ought to be thankful. One of the most blessed things of all is to devote ourselves, our calling, our mind, and our everything to being thankful to the kindness of God and the goodness of other people toward us.
Amen. Yeah.
She sang that song, God's Been Good.
Yes.
Well, don't forget, there's been some people in your life been good too. And the worst thing is to be unthankful toward those people. Maybe your mom or your dad. A nasty, ugly, filthy thing is a rebellious child against good parents. Not only is it heartbreaking to the parents, but it's ugly. It's ugly. We see that and we say, don't you see what you have? You'll thank God you got a daddy. You'll thank God your mama didn't abort you. You'll thank God they didn't give you away to be adopted out somewhere. Or they didn't just desert you, you know. One of the ugliest things you'll ever see is a rebellious child. And then adults. My goodness, they act like, a lot of adults act like everybody owes them something and they're not even thankful for what they got already.
Yeah.
Ugly, nasty. By the way, I think that's politicians plow that, and they work on that. They work on that. And they make you feel like somebody has neglected you or rejected you. And that way, they get, follow me and I'll help you with that, they say. Job was in probably his darkest days. He'd lost everybody. He singles out three things he says. And I'll quit. I'll show you these three things he said in this passage. Just three. Number one, look at it again in verse 11. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. You know what sinews are. That's the things that hook stuff together and hold it together. Listen to me. He said, I want to thank God that thou hast granted me life. Thou has granted me life. It's better to be dead than alive. In another passage, it says it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. God gave us life. God granted me life. Thou hast life. That's the greatest gift that God can give anybody's life. And when I say life, I mean breathe in life. And you're alive. You're not dead. You're not some inanimate object, you know. You're alive. And even though Job was in his worst and his darkest days, he thanked God that he was still alive. And I thank God every day I'm still alive.
Amen.
Every day is another chance. Every day is a new day. And I've gotten up many days of failure. Many days I've gotten up of failure. And felt like the world had ended. And I'd lost everybody and everything and didn't know anywhere to go. And then God reminded me, no, you're not dead yet. You're not dead yet. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And get out there and walk out that driveway and say, thank God I can still see.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I can see those clouds up there. When was the last time you looked up? Amen. Quick, got off of that telephone, looked up. Thank God I can see those clouds. Thank God. Look at that tree. That tree's in my yard, Brother Mike. It belongs to me. Thank God. God gave me a tree. Thank God. God gave me some rocks. Amen. Thank God. God gave me grass and all these. Thank God I can see. Amen. I can walk in the house, see my wife. There's one that still loves me. I can see. Thank God I can see. You don't know how precious that is that you can see. Ask Brother Ed. He'll tell you. Ask Pat. She'll tell you how precious life is when you can open your eyes and say, hey, I'm still alive. Then I say, thank God I can hear. Thank God I can hear those birds out there. Amen. Those birds. When's the last time you listened for the birds? And boy, I can hear the birds out there tweeting and going on. I can hear that old aggravating blackbird out there chasing them all. I can hear that hawk. We got two hawks in our neighborhood and some of them are set up in our tree in the front yard and just make all kind of racket. Little old hawk about that big, you know, and about that big around. And I don't know if it's a he or she. Probably a she because she makes a lot of noise. And I say, thank God, I can still see that. Amen. I say, thank God I can see, I can hear. Thank God, Brother Ron, you'll understand this. I go, thank God I can still breathe. I can still breathe. Do you know how many people can't breathe?
Yes.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank God I can still walk. You know how many people can't walk? Chad's not here. He went out this morning. He said, preacher, pray for me. I don't know what they're going to do, whether it's rehab or cut my leg off, but they need to do something. I can't. He can sit in here for Sunday school. He can't stay for two services. His leg hurts him all the time. Leg from here on down, just purple and black and looks like it's already gone. And do you know how many people just thank God you can walk and talk and see and you're in your right mind. That's a blessing. Amen. I know some that ain't. I'm sorry. Aren't. Jeffrey's not in here. I don't have to be correct. Amen. Do you know what it is not to hear voices that's not there and see things that aren't there? And do you know what it is to be in your right mind? I watched my mama fade away in her mind. And just to help her, I'd go over there and I'd say, Mama, you remember? And she could remember things 40, 50, 60, 70 years since she was 97, 99. She could remember things, you know, back 80 years ago, you know. And, but I'd say, Mama, you remember Donnie did this? And she couldn't remember that my other four brothers and four sisters were already dead. She didn't even remember that. And somebody, one of my nieces came and told me that one day. Said, I was talking about Larry, my daddy, and she didn't know he was dead. I said, stop talking like that. Because every time you say that, she relives it. And she forgets it that night. The next day, you're going to make her relive it again. But thank God we're in our right mind. Amen. And I'd walk her outside, I'd be in that wheelchair, and we'd walk around that building, and there's all kind of shrubbery and trees, and I'd say, Mama, what's that right there? She said, that's a magnolia tree, you know. Right. We'd go over and touch the flowers and feel them, you know. Boy, if y'all ain't never touched magnolia trees, you need to move south, amen? And then we'd walk over there, and we'd touch the azalea bushes, and she'd pick off some flowers. I'd say, Mama, what is that? She said, I know what it is. And I said, Mom, is that an azalea bush? That's right. That's an azalea bush. And then slowly but surely, she just quit and just couldn't remember anything until finally those last few days she went to bed and then crossed over to glory. Let me tell you what a blessing is to be able to remember your own name. What a blessing is to be able to remember the people you love. Amen. Thank God I'm in my right mind. We'll to every day thank God because we have life. We're not dead. And as long as I'm not dead, there's hope. Amen. I go to the hospital. People say, pray for them. I think they're going to die. I said, as long as there's breath, there's hope. We'll pray. God might raise them up. And I've seen him do it over and 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 over. Raise people up. And Brother Adam, we just say, hey, as long as there's breath, there's hope. We can get a prayer through. Maybe God will intervene and let them keep their life. Amen. Amen. Thank God. God has granted me life. I'm alive. And Job said, everything's been taken. I've lost everybody, but I'm alive. I'm still here. I'm still walking and talking and seeing and hearing and breathing and smelling. It's great to be alive. Let me read you Psalm 8. And if you want to turn over, it's just a little bit farther. Psalm 8, verse 3 through 8 says this. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? and the Son of Man that thou visited him. The psalmist says, you look out there and you see the constellations and the stars and the suns and the moons and the planets, and we don't even hardly see any of them. Turn out lights around here, you'd see a lot more. But get out there, and he said, what is a man that God would consider a man? And he made all of that. Why would God think about me? Amen. Why would God think about me? What is man that thou art mindful of him, he said, and the Son of Man that thou visited him? Why would God visit us? Why didn't he go to Jupiter or Alpha Centauri or a past the Milky Way out there to some galaxy? Why does God think so much of us? Amen. And he says this, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. I mean, we're not even good as an angel, man. Think about that. He's made us lower than the angels. But wait a minute, the story's not finished. He said, and has crowned him with glory and honor. He hadn't crowned any angels with glory and honor, but he puts glory and honor on mankind. Amen? What, who are we? You'll thank God, God even speaks to you.
Yes.
Well, thank God that God visits with us. Well, thank God he gave us a book to read. We can know the mind of God. Just read the book. Hey, not only that, we can talk to him. Well, thank God we can talk to him. And he talks back.
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank God for that. Oh, my goodness. Wonder when people's going to start praising the Lord. And thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet. Wait a minute. The moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars and everything, all of creation is under the feet of mankind. God created every bit of that for us. There are no aliens. We're the aliens. Amen. We're strangers and pilgrims walking through this world, children of God. And God created all of that and all of this for man. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea. And look at this. And whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. God made it for us. These eco-idiots, eco-maniacs, they want to hug a tree. Let me tell you something. God made that tree to make you a chair.
Right,
it's yours. And by the way, if you pray to that tree, you're dumber than a box of rocks. That tree can't hear you, and it's not going to talk back. And some of them tried that in the Old Testament. God told them they were dumb as a box of rocks, too. He made that tree for you to build your house.
Thank you, Lord.
All right? He didn't make those cows be your friend. He made them be your supper. What else would a cow be good for? What else would a sheep be good for? To make you clothes and food, amen? And give me a purpose for a chicken other than Sunday dinner. What good is a chicken? God made that for mankind, amen? And these people say, I don't believe in eating live things. That's why we kill it. Amen. God preserved that life long enough for me and you to have sustenance on planet Earth, and he put it under our feet.
Amen.
People talk their plants. You need medicine. By the way, you don't talk to your grass. Nobody wants grass to grow. You have to cut it. Isn't it right? Well, some people don't. I've been places people don't cut their grass. But let me tell you something. Well, to thank God he's given us life.
Amen.
He's given us life. Did you know, think about this. He could have made you a rock.
Yes.
You never thought about that? He could have created you a stink bug. He could have made you a cockroach. A bed bug. Head lice. Y'all ain't never thought about this stuff, have you? Thank God he created me, put me in this body. I'm glad I don't live in India and I'm living in blindness and deceit. I'm glad I don't live around Asheville where those people up there worship the stars and the moon and the sun and everything else. I'm glad I realize, like Job, God, you made this flesh. God, you put flesh on these bones and these sinews, and you put me inside of this body. Now, God, I give you the glory for that, and I thank you for that. I thank you for my body when I'm well, and I thank you for my body when I'm sick. I thank you for my body when it's strong, and I thank you for my body when it's weak, and I thank you for my body when it's doing good, and I thank you for my body when it ain't doing good, because there's only one alternative, and that's go to heaven. And I don't mind going to heaven, but I'd rather be in a body than be in a tree. I'd rather be in a body than be in a rock. I'd rather be, hey, this may be a lump of coal or a lump of clay, but at least it ain't clay. Amen. Thank God I'm alive. I got a body. Come on, help me. There's a resurrection in this body every morning. I lay it down at night and it dies and it gets up the next morning.
Amen.
And some of y'all get up and say, good morning, Lord. And mine gets up and says, good Lord, this morning. And I have to drag it out of bed. My wife jumps out of bed before the alarm clock goes off and gets in the bathroom, gets showered and everything. And I'm still in there trying to stretch this muscle and trying to stretch that muscle and trying to get this leg out of the bed and that leg out of the bed. And I sit up on the side of the bed and I say, oh man, I gotta get up. I know y'all don't feel that way, but let me tell you something. On my worst day, I thank God I still got a body. I wasn't made a dog. Amen. I wasn't made into a dog. Thou hast granted me a life. I'm alive. Job said, everything's been taken, but I'm alive.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You're going to have bad times.
Thank you, Father.
You're going to have bad times. But you can thank God you're still here. What if every one of us came up and we recounted one by one? Think about this. What if we all gave a testimony of the perils of our lives, the things that we have been through? While others went down, we're still here.
Thank you, Lord.
We start singing that song, when upon our billows we are tempest tossed, when we are discouraged, thinking all is lost. We count our blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Yes.
What if we did that today? What if we started right over here and went all the way around and recounted the days that God let us live when others didn't? And God let us breathe when others couldn't breathe anymore. Let us walk when others couldn't walk anymore. And what if we did that and while others went down to the grave and God let us live? You ought to praise God and thank God you're still alive.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm poor. You're alive. Amen. I've lost all my friends. You're still alive. Well, people's to turn against me. Join Job. You're in good company, but he's still alive.
Yes.
What about all those wrecks? What about those car crashes? What about those sicknesses we've had? What about the disease we've had? What about the wars we've lived through? And on and on and on. If we'd recount these things and count them as blessings to still be here, we'd be more thankful people.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you.
And do like the song, don't look at others with their lands and gold. Remember you what the promises that God's told you.
Amen. Yeah. Yes.
You see, Job's problem was most of the time he never looked at himself. He looked at everybody else. And he was weighing his life by what everybody else was like. On top of all these things, he gives us eternal life. Did you know that God expresses his favor in several ways? Sound bodies, well bodies, we can see, we can hear, we can talk. But where has the gratitude gone? You know God doesn't owe me anything. You know God doesn't owe you anything. You know God doesn't owe you anything. And we have no right to complain of our station or situation in life if we're in God's will. Amen?
Amen?
You say, well, he's rich, I'm poor. If that's where God needs you to be right now, you stay right there. Matter of fact, he might have put you there because if you was rich, you wouldn't be faithful. People tell me all the time, they say, preacher, when I win the lottery, I'm going to put that money in the church and we're going to build us a church. I said, you'll never do it. Oh, I'm going to tithe it, a $500 million prize, and I'm going to tithe that money, and we'll build the biggest church, nicest church in town. I said, well, how much you make now? What you tithing now? Did you know it's a whole lot easier to tithe $1,000 a month than it is $100,000 a month? Don't tell me you don't get that. You know what I'm talking about. It's easier to let go of $100 than it is a $10,000, isn't it? You'll thank God for what you got and quit looking at what everybody else has got. You'll thank God for your station in life and quit looking at everybody else's station in life. You'll thank God for your health and quit looking at everybody else's health. You'll thank God for your salvation, your spiritual situation, and quit looking at everybody else's spiritual situation, and you'll be more thankful. You don't know where some of us come from.
Amen.
Well, if you do, where some of us come from.
Right. Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
A fellow told me today, he said, pray for my child being abused sexually and physically and in a bad situation, and I can't do anything about it. I said, well, just pray God to put a hedge around her. And God will build a wall around her, and God will protect her. I said, a lot of us have been through things like that. And we know what it's like. God to take care of. God to work it out. I know it looks bad now, but listen, this ain't the end. It's just the beginning.
Amen.
He said, thou hast granted me favor. Oh, my goodness. Who am I? You remember Mephibosheth? He fell at the feet of David. And David said, art thou Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, the grandson of the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul? And he said, who am I that thou would look on a dead dog as I am? And he said, get up. I'm going to set you at the king's table. And you're going to eat with the king continually. And I'm going to give you back everything your daddy lost. And I'm going to give you servants and lands and fields and gold and oxen. And I'm going to take care of you. But as for you, you're going to sit at my table, the servants to do the work. You won't have to worry about that anymore. And let me tell you something. We need to realize the favor that God's poured on us. I'm sitting at the king's table. I'm feasting on the manna. I'm drinking from a fountain that'll never run dry. God's taking care of me. On my lowest days, I'm better than I was on my best days before he adopted me.
Amen.
Boy, you'll remember where you come from. Some of y'all got good families. You came from good families, maybe a Christian home and at least good parents and things like that. But some of us didn't have all those things. And it's easier to forget where you come from if you had it than it is if you didn't have it. Did you know you've got your road in life? You've got your daily living. You've got your income. You might have some success. You've got comfort. You still live in a free country, though who knows what's happening in the future. Right now we're still pure, free and ain't going to quit tomorrow, next week, or next year. And we still have elections, even if this one's wrong, we can fix it in 4 years, pray to God. But at our worst days in America, we're still better off than most of the world.
Amen.
Amen. I can go home, shut the door, and turn off TV and just live in my little world. I'm free. Amen. I can go to church this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Remember that because it might take that away from you. You might want to get in on some of that. And you might have a little success in your area of life. You might have enough money coming in to live comfortably. You may have a little savings account. You might have an automobile. You might have a house. You might have heat. You might have air. And I go on and on and on and on and on. And he said, thou hast granted me favor. God's been good to us.
Amen.
You say you don't know what I've been through. I know where you are today. I'm looking at you. You don't know how hard it's been. I do too. But I can tell you one that knows how to fix it.
Amen.
God's favor is in everything that we have.
sir.
But wait a minute. It could disappear with the morning mist, yes. Every bit of it.
Amen.
Job went to bed one night. He had his family there. He had his children. He had his grandchildren. They had a big supper. They loved each other. They had a great family. And then one night he went to bed and he got up that next day and one by one he lost every bit of it. Messengers kept coming saying, they're dead. They're gone. It's dead. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Same thing could happen to me and you. We go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow penniless. Health gone. Loved ones desert us. Friends to turn on us. And the only thing that's faithful is God.
Amen.
God himself.
Yes.
And we need to remember that. We're blessed people. Look at you. You're blessed.
Amen.
But every bit of it could disappear overnight. There's somebody in the hospital right now that went to bed last night not knowing they was going to end up in the hospital this morning. There's a family meeting at the funeral home this morning. Yesterday, didn't know they'd be meeting at the funeral home today. There's some people going to meet down at the bank tomorrow trying to save their house. Last week, they thought they had it. There's some people going to court next week going to lose everything. The bankruptcy in a year ago, they were doing real well. There's couples tomorrow going to wake up and they're going to, by the end of the week, they'll be separated, divorced. There's children going to wake up tomorrow and mom and daddy ain't going to be there. We may wake up a year from now and not even have a government anymore. You better count your blessings. You better count your blessings. There's some little old girl going out there one night this week and she's going to smoke something she ain't never smoked and it's going to lead her 3 years from now down the road pushing a needle in her arm. There's a little old boy going out there tomorrow night or tonight with his friends. He's going to drink something that'll have him looking into the bottom of a bottle for the rest of his life. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
But he's favored us.
Amen.
Thank God he favored us. We don't deserve it. We're no better than anybody else. But thank God he adopted me and he takes care of me.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I don't take credit for any of it.
Nope.
Brother Ron, one of the hardest jobs I ever had, my wife volunteered me for. She decided she needed a new kitchen. Have you ever remodeled a kitchen?
Try.
Well, we're paying people to do it. I'm favored. But it goes through phases. You know, it takes a week to get your countertop, another week to get your floor, another week to get the cabinets put in. And in the meantime, we're sitting at that little old table, little round table up against the wall over here with boxes and wood and everything I can't go through. Ain't got nothing to cook on. Ain't got no sink. Haven't drank water out of the bathtub or commode, and I always choose the bathtub. And so... But God's been good to me. My mama rented a house for $10 a week. Think about that. Amen. Help me, y'all. You got beautiful homes to go to. You or at least a suitable home. God's favored us. You know, I got a church still believes the Bible's the Word of God. Yes, people go to this church still believe Jesus is real.
Yes.
Did you notice people go to this church that still get a prayer through?
Yes.
I read on Facebook, we're in this neighborhood thing, you know, neighborhood group, and somebody new to the neighborhood wrote something in there about where can we find a good church? So I clicked on it, and then it opens up to the whole paragraph, you know, and it goes on talking about where children can have a bunch of activities and bunch of programs, and I thought to myself, you look looking for the YMCA. You're not looking for the church. What you need to do is get your church down there under some old spitting, slinging preacher that'll preach the Word of God and scare the devil out of them, and you won't have to have such a problem out of them when they turn teenagers. Need to get them down there where a Sunday school teacher teaches them about heaven and hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
Thank God I got a church I can go to.
Amen.
I don't know where I'd go to church if I didn't go here. And I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. Thank God. There's still some other churches just like this one. There's still some old-fashioned believers just like me and you. Thank God I'm favored. Did I even know that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And then he said, thy visitation has preserved my spirit. You know what that means? Because God touched him. God was a part of his life.
Yes.
It preserved him. He never did say, because I deserve it. He never did say, because I'm a good guy. I belong to the Lions Club and the Elks Lodge and the Moose Lodge and the Shriners and the JCs and whatever else kind of works you think you can do to get to heaven. And he didn't say none of that. He said, thy visitation, because you visited with me, you have kept me alive, you preserved my life.
Yes.
How many times and ways has he visited you? Boy, I remember my mother-in-law wanted me to get saved. My mother-in-law got saved. She was a wonderful woman. Whew, I miss her about much. I miss my mama. And she wanted me to get saved. She started taking me and Terry to church. She'd go to church, you know, and she'd take us. And I remember the first time that God touched me. She took me to church over there. I can't remember the name of it, over in Fort Mill. And they got to singing. I felt God. And I never really felt God before. Scared me. But I didn't go to church for a long time after that. And I remember I was sitting there at Eastside Baptist Church around 1976, I guess. And the preacher got to preaching, and I felt God touch me. Right here. And I started crying. And I said, phew, I don't like this. I like God doing this. I'm not coming back down here. These people's crazy. That preacher's crazy. The choir's crazy. That man that prayed a while ago is crazy. I'm not coming back down here. This is it. I'm not putting myself through this anymore. And then she gave me a book about the rapture. Oh my goodness, I messed up. I read that book. And I started having nightmares about the rapture and me getting left behind, my wife and kids going in the rapture. And the book was about a family that got left behind in the rapture. It was a story, you know, it wasn't Bible, but a family that missed the rapture and what he had to go through. And I went through every bit of it in my dreams at night. I'd wake up in a cold sweat crying. And God used that to touch me and draw me. How many times God ever touched you? I go to church now. I go places to hear preachers preach. You know what I pray? Lord, touch me. Lord, speak to me today. Lord, I need to know you're still there. God, speak! And I sit there, and I'm not looking for the preacher to say the wrong verse or the wrong thing or mispronounce a word. I'm looking for God in every word he says. And you know what I get? I usually get touched.
Amen.
Just think how many times God's touched you. God visits people in a lot of ways, and I'm about through. I can tell some of you are restless. Did you know God visits us by his grace and salvation? He saves us. He visits us, and he comes to us, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. He's coming to supper. He's going to be there from now on.
Yes. Thank you.
He visits us in sanctification. After you get saved, you start reading the Bible and you try to get close to God, God will set you apart and he'll start using you in ways that only being set apart can use. Now he sets you apart to go to heaven as soon as he saves you, but then when you get to meet the Holy Spirit, which I'll teach you tonight, when you meet the Holy Spirit, he'll give you power and his presence will come on you. Then God will say, okay, you've been faithful in little, I'm going to give you much to be faithful in now. And he'll make a witness out of your teacher or a preacher or a sing or something. You know, God sanctifies you, but he touches you again to do that. I sound almost like a Nazarene, don't I, Brother Billy? And then God touches you. Listen, God touches you when he sustains you.
Yes.
You go through a death. You go through an illness. You go through trial, tribulation. And God keeps you alive. And God keeps you in your right mind. And God takes care of you through that whole ordeal. And one day you wake up, one day after a period of time, say, thank God I made it through that by the grace of God. God touched me. Sometime at a church service, God will touch you. I always pray. Every week I pray God touch people here. God, I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I don't want people to come in here and not feel the power and the presence of a holy God. I want them to know you're alive, God. Use this old unworthy preacher.
Yes.
God will touch you in a sick bed sometimes. God will touch you in a sick bed. I remember Brother Allen's wife. She was a wonderful woman. Brother Allen had a wonderful, sweet, Christian, spirit-filled wife. And I remember I was in the hospital one day visiting, and I saw Brother Allen in the hall. He was going one way, I was going another. He said, Brother Ron, good to see you. My wife's back here, and they told her she's got cancer. She's going to die. And said, Preacher, let's go back there and pray for her. We went back there and prayed. And as soon as we got through, she said, I believe God healed me. You remember that? And they drew some fluid off of her before we prayed. And she said, I believe God healed me. And she got up. And she got going, and she traveled everywhere. I don't know, 6 or 7 years, basically preaching the gospel. God touched her. I've seen God do that many, many, many times on a sick bed. In an accident, you'll have a car accident or something, and you'll pray, Lord, help, and you'll feel the power and the presence of God. Maybe in a failure. Maybe you failed. Maybe you sinned. Maybe you hurt somebody or hurt a lot of people. Maybe you just got out of God's will and you failed. And when you got down as low as you get, you looked up and said, God help me, I failed again. And you'll feel God touch you. Maybe in times of trouble, your kids look at you and they say, I don't love you, I'm leaving here. Maybe your wife looks at you and says, I don't love you anymore, I'm leaving. Your husband says, I don't love you anymore, I'm leaving. Or maybe somebody just betrays you and you say, God, I can't go through this. And God reaches down and touches you.
Amen.
Maybe in times of blessing, we're going to have Thanksgiving pretty soon. Let me tell you something. To have my children and my grandchildren sitting at my table in my house, I'm going to say, thank God I love my children. Thank God you've kept them alive. Thank God you've kept them together. Thank God that we love each other. We don't hate each other's guts.
Yes.
And thank God they're saved by the grace of God. We'll be thankful. Oh, that people would praise the Lord, the psalmist said. Look here. We don't know for sure. And I don't know if you're a Democrat, a Republican, or a Democrat. I don't know what you are. But our nation's in turmoil.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be peacemakers. And our nation's in turmoil. Now, look at me. And you ask my wife. I said something this morning. And she said, I thought the elections was through. As far as she's concerned, they are. But not for me. I won't ever vote county. But, listen, even if it turns out other than what I want, and it probably will because my side don't have the power of the media. And that'll be a low day, but let me tell you something. God will touch me anyway.
Yeah. Amen.
God will bless me anyway.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I'm going to come back next Sunday and I'm going to sing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I'm going to sing, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. I have eternal life. I'm never going to die. I'm going to live long as God lives. Now I have trial and tribulation. I'll have heartache. I'll have heartbreak. But every time I do, God's going to reach down there. He's not going to let me suffer any more than He allowed, being tempted more than allowed, you know, and that I'm able to a bear, you know, and he's going to reach down, he's going to touch me and say, all right, that's enough. I love you. Get up. I love you. Get up. You're going to be all right. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And Job looked over at him and said, I've lost everything, but thank God thou hast preserved my life. I'm still here.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
How about you? What are you thankful for? Let's stand, Father.